Well, we have moved from Luke's gospel now into Mark's. And you probably, if you've been paying attention, notice the sparsity of Mark's language. It's like he's trying to get a message out and he's not going to waste a single word. In Mark's gospel here in the fourth chapter, by the time we hit verse 11, Jesus has been born. He's already been to the temple. He has astounded the elders and the scribes with his wisdom. And now, as a young man, he has come to the Jordan to officially begin his ministry by being baptized. You just don't get much more than that in 11 verses. But here it is. And the reason Mark is so economical with language is because he wants to get this message out. Mark is the only one who begins his book with, "This is the gospel. This is the good news." Matthew, Mark have a long lineage to get through. John has that marvelous prologue, "In the beginning was the Word." But Mark just jumps right in. He would be the allegorical equivalent of the polar bear plunge into the icy waters of God's love. Wasn't that a marvelous illustration? That just kind of came to me. And there he goes. He's in. He's stroking and he's treading water. And here we go. Buckle your seatbelts. People always ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? And the answer is, he didn't. He had no sins, according to our doctrine. He had nothing to be cleansed of, but he wanted, by the power of God, to start his ministry off by the fulfillment of all righteousness. He had to do it right. He had to follow the traditions. And the traditions stated, at some point in your life, you had to make a decision for God. For Jesus, this was the outward manifestation of an interior disposition. He already knew God, but he wanted to let everyone know that he knew God. And so he went down to the Jordan. Now, how many of you have ever been to the Jordan River? I have not. A few of us, okay. Is that a place you'd love to go swimming in? It's not. It's kind of a shallow, from what I have read, a shallow river with a lot of things floating in it that we just soon not name. And it hasn't changed that much over thousands of years. It was kind of the place where irrigation happened and sanitation moved down the waters. And I won't go any further into it. But people went there to begin life anew. And in some ways, they knew what they were getting into, and it was going to be a change of life. Jesus in Mark's gospel is baptized. And in all the other gospels, John is absolutely apoplectic that he would have to baptize Jesus. "No, Lord, you should baptize me. We got it all wrong here." And Jesus says, "No, it is fitting that it be done thus, that we may fulfill all righteousness." Mark's gospel doesn't go into all of that. Jesus goes directly from the baptism into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But during the baptism, and this is where the real meat of the story is a dynamic thing happens. The heavens, according to Mark, are torn apart. God says, "This is my beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit comes down with the appearance of a dove. Now let's just take a moment and look at that. When the heavens are torn open, that is not always a good sign. In fact, heretofore in Scripture, whenever the heavens are torn open, it is a bad day in Black Rock. The heavens were torn open when Noah was building the ark. The heavens were torn open at times of judgment of God on his people. And not only the heavens, but when Jesus was crucified, the curtain in the temple was torn open. And the symbolism here is that when the heavens are torn open, the barrier between God and his people is suddenly removed. And we are there facing the eternal God without the benefit of cover. When the heavens are torn open, you got no place to run. When the heavens are torn open, our lives change. When the heavens are torn open, all of humanity is called to account. And so in this instance, the heavens are torn open and the voice of God speaks. But instead of a word of judgment, this time it is a word of affirmation. This is my beloved Son. And then the Holy Spirit comes down as a dove and lights upon him. It's a time of judgment, yes, but it's mostly a time of affirmation. It's a time of God saying, things are about to be different here. Things are about to open up, and it's going to be because my Son, my beloved Son, is come as the catalyst to make it happen. And so begins the journey. And so begins our new lives in Christ. And so begins the hope of the world. And so begins just a foretaste of heaven on earth. We stand before this table, which reminds us of the passion of Jesus. But it also stands for something else. It stands for that day when Jesus stood in a cold Jordan River and was baptized by John, and a voice and a dove came forth, and everything was changed. The parade of God's providence began. And this table stands to us as a reminder not only of our journeys, but also of the journey of him who came to save us. A voice, a dove, a river. Thus begins that panoply of providence. Let us pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we come, knowing that you are already here. We thank you for the baptism of our Lord that came about so that we would have faith. Grant that as he begins his ministry in this year, may we begin our paths. A faithful response. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.